It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. We have a lot to talk about today. Let me tell you, there's so many things going on, and we're going to focus on the immigration law. And we're going to go to the actual law. I got a call yesterday afternoon, an afternoon show, and they were like, hey, man, I'm gone to the ARS version here, and it doesn't say what you're saying. And we weren't even talking about it. He just wanted to, talk about something's going on in the news. And I'm going, well, they haven't changed the Arizona Revised Statute on the internet yet because it hadn't taken effect. It takes effect. Well, it was supposed to this week. Maybe it was even today. But they had an injunction that they, in a hearing, the federal government. And their infinite wisdom, whatever. There's competing interest here. It's just you're not really getting what's going on. We're going to go over the actual law today. And what they've done is they said anything from the moment that the officer comes in contact with the people, from that point on, we're saying it's not good anymore. You're not going to do that. We're going to hold off on that until we can decide. But what did they leave in? Everything before the contact with the person, which means what? Only the national ID part is left. Who was telling you this was going to happen? Who has been screaming this from the beginning? Today, we're going to go through what the actual law says, because you don't know. As emotional as a lot of people get and have gotten on this issue, as much as you are just amped up about it, what do you really know? What have you actually read? I give you a hint. Whenever you have a bill titled, whenever you have legislation that has a summary, whatever they say, it's always the opposite of whatever they say. It always had. I can't think of a time it wasn't. The Help America Vote Act, the Patriot Act, the whatever act. I mean, it's always, it never what they say. It's all what they think they in their focus group they can get and label something in order to hide whatever it is that they're really wanting to do. I'm going to read you, just title here. On April 23rd, 2010, Senate Bill 1070, sponsored by Senator Russell Pierce, was signed into law. SB 1070 was enacted as laws blah, 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 and chapter what you call it, and House bill, and additional changes, and gross version, yada, yada, yada. And it says, amending and adding and so on, and here's the summary. The legislature finds that there is a compelling interest in the cooperative enforcement, of federal immigration laws throughout all of Arizona. This is the first sentence of the law. Being enacted by the legislature, state of Arizona, section 1, intent. The legislature finds that there is a compelling interest in the cooperative enforcement of federal immigration laws throughout all of Arizona. Now, initially you would say, we want, cooperative whatever. What does that mean? That means that the Arizona and federal government have combined, have become one in a cooperative fusion center, whatever you want to call it.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and we're going to walk through this thing. The immigration law here in Arizona, from the very beginning, we knew the players involved and what they were doing, and where do you get this kind of information? You know, what? Let me go ahead and paint a picture for you so you understand. I want this audience to know at least what I think I know. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Not tell you? Yeah, it's, you know, and I'll tell you, there are hosts that do that. I mean, all the freaking time. You think Sean Hannity's telling you the truth? Seriously? You think, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, just, you know, tell you it's they're on a mission. You know, I mean, what is it that I want? I just want to be left alone. You know, what's the proper role of government? Defending me, being left alone. You know, so I color everything from that. Are they leaving me alone? Yeah, but they got a really good reason. You're confusing with someone that cares. You know, is their policy going to affect my being left alone and leave alone other people? Is it eventually going to come get me? Or are you willing to give up a little bit of leaving you alone for not leaving alone the people you want to not left alone? You know, this is, you have to be able to have some, there's no situational ethics with libertarian philosophy, you know, and we bring up the libertarian thing a lot, but it's more than that. It is a life choice. I choose not to aggress or to advocate anybody aggress against me or someone else. It's not more complicated than that. And I try to make sure that this audience, and I know this audience in RBN, John Stadtmiller is a good friend, and we don't see eye to eye on everything, and but we come to respect each other, and we help each other in what we're trying to do. You know, he's building a network, and I want to, how many minds can I free, and we cooperate on this, and it's kind of surprising that, you know, as long as our relationship is mutually beneficial, we'll be buds. And do this, and then not, we'll go on to whatever. I'm not a bridge burner. I don't, make enemies. I'm just me. I mean, that's just, the way it is. I usually get along with even the bad guys. I mean, I got Sheriff Arpaio on, my cell phone and his cell number. I mean, we just, what's up. But we understand each other. And we know where we over. I don't see the battle between individuals or even support with individuals as a goal, or you smite them or you do. It's just information that I want to relay to as many people as possible. It's the only way I know that I have a chance for me and the people I love to be free. I don't know any other way. Now, some people would rationalize and justify that, well, I don't want to tell them this part. It makes it look bad. It doesn't, the tapestry. We've got to get confused just enough to where I can focus on this 120% of the bill that I can, gain market share, or I can get more support, or they'll send me more money, or they'll, there's always these kinds of things. I have been very fortunate in that the people that support me and what we do here at Freedom's Phoenix and all the activism and everything that we do is done based on seeking the whole truth from a certain lens that we're looking for certain things. We're looking for who is aggressing against whom. Okay, you're going to use some law, you're going to take this club, whatever this is, a gun, a bullet, a knife, or whatever, handcuffs, and you're going to either apply it or threaten to apply it to someone else for what reason? You know, were they aggressing against someone else? You see, it's called eliminating the mind fog. I remember we used to have promos when I was on a morning show here in Arizona when I first started doing radio for a couple of years. It was all lifting the mind fog, clearing the mind fog, parting the mind fog. It was all about the mind fog. And the point that we were making was it's this noise, this white noise that they put around you and distract you from the kernel of what they really, really, really wanted. It happened with RICO. I remember Arizona Congressman Sam Steiger. He was, it was later that he would, regret his supporting of the RICO statutes that allowed for confiscation of everything in the name of. It's drugs this, racketeering and organized crime thing, whatever it was. It was an excuse for them to take your stuff. And once that starts, where does it stop? Once you give them sanction, or allow it to stand or whatever for them to just take your stuff in the name of whatever, then guess what's going to happen? That's exactly what they're going to do. This law is I don't know any other word to say it. It is bad. I mean, do I want to say evil? Heck, everything. Heck, law is evil. Just the fact they're going to use force. So I'm going to go ahead and continue to read this through, but it's going to be bias. I'll tell you, right off the bat, I already know that, what they're going to do is bias. The legislature finds that there is a compelling interest. Okay. What compelling interest? Right off the bat, we're going to walk through this entire law today. I'm going to give you what I see, what I look for from experience of 22 years. And I've been down at the legislature. I've massaged with legislators. Heck, I've written some of the most popular legislation here. We wrote. They just don't know it. We either did an initiative and another legislator, and we kind of behind the scenes helped them. Or like in the case of Karen Johnson, the manual validation of election computers and so on, that went through, of course, which they ignore the law anyway. But that got passed. If they'd known that I wrote that, or the manufacture of Arizona's centennial coming up in 2012, did you know Arizona now can mint its own commemorative 99.99% gold medallions in denominations not to exceed one troy ounce? So you will have multiple denominations. Arizona's already has the infrastructure to mint its own gold. Who do you think came up with that? These are the things that we do behind the scenes. I know how legislation works. I know these people personally. I know what their mindset is. I know how they got in their positions. I know where they were before. I know what they've been doing a decade before they became a legislator, senator, governor. I've run against many of them. I know. I don't think I know. I don't kind of got an inkling. I know from personal experience. So I share this with you from that perspective. What's my bias? Thou shalt leave others and me, certainly me, alone. If you're not defending my individual rights, then you're doing something else. What is it that you're doing? When they say there is a compelling interest in the cooperative enforcement of federal immigration laws, I can't even get past the first sentence. One, you got to define what the compelling interest is, that you would go so far as to have law enforcement blend with the federal government. That's what these fusion centers are about. In the mid-90s, we were screaming about multi-jurisdictional task forces. You'd have the conservative Republicans, freaking out that, Clinton was going to blah, blah, blah. Well, now you're doing it while Obama is in there, of all people. It's because you think this is an immigration thing. Well, Arizona is going to be its own nation, and we're going to... No. 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 You have blended and become an arm of the federal government here in Arizona. You keep missing the point. You say, well, Arizona, no, you're not. Arizona just ceded over to the federal government a bunch of stuff. All this little argument about, state sovereignty, and they're going to, what are they saying? Right now, they just did the ruling. Nope, you can't do it. You can't be in charge of the federal government's immigration of laws enforcement. I'll tell you what's going to come out of this. Exactly this. They're going to allow and use Arizona law enforcement as like departments or minions of the federal government to go around papers, please. And you begged for it. Begged for it. Cooperative enforcement of federal immigration laws throughout all of Arizona. So right in the first sentence, you just gave all of Arizona law enforcement over the federal government in the name of immigration laws to go around papers, please. First sentence. Begging for it. What's the compelling interest? The compelling interest was welfare, state, use of other people. But they never address that. Eliminate the welfare. Eliminate the health care. Eliminate public school. Eliminate the library. Eliminate the road. Eliminate all this government. No. 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 That's the excuse we need in order to merge the state and federal law enforcement. And that's just the first sentence.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back. I want to get right to this. Here, let me get this phone. Hold on a second, Ben. Here, this is Ben Nichols. Go ahead and see what he wants. You know, we got some of the guys in here picking up stuff. They're doing protest and such, and you need to take the phone with you. The what's going on is there's a lot of protest all over the state here, and a lot of the guys come down and make the signs, you know, welcome to Arizona, papers, please, and borders strong enough to keep them out, keep you in. And you militarize the border, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're not going to be able to go that way either. I mean, let me out. And so this is, they're young guys here getting involved in everything, and we've talked about it over time, and they're not Hispanic. You know, they're freedom lovers. They understand at a young age, they've been walking this through since it became a big issue during the 2008 presidential election cycle. When Dr. Ron Paul was running for president, they focused on a lot of the immigration stuff, too. They'd say, oh, I mean, we got to get to secure the border and all that kind of stuff. But it was done differently. And it was done in a way where he said, look, you know, secure the borders. But, you know, that's not the problem. You know, the problem is anything important? Okay. Now, the problem is that there is a welfare state thing going on. Take care of that. And then it doesn't matter. The government's the only ones that are always complaining about more customers. We got all these people coming to, you know, yeah, what? And so the drain is what? You know, well, they're taking our, taking advantage of all this welfare that you're giving people. And then when you do them, what percentage do they represent of all the people that are taking it? Certainly as the economy starts to go. You know, we need to get rid of them so we can have a bunch of white people getting, you know, aid, steal from me and others. So I'm just, where's the morality in this? Who's you know, keeping score? MK, America. The legislature, now this is, we just got past the first sentence. Second sentence, the legislature declares, now whatever they say they're going to do and declare don't mean squat to me. They declare, we declare that, you know, whatever, you know they're lying right there. The legislature declares that the intent of this act is, now they're going to say what it is. I don't even need a reading for the, you know, whatever they're going to tell me, it's a lie. It is a smokescreen for something else. Declares that the intent of this act is to make attrition through enforcement the public policy of all state and local government agencies in Arizona. Attrition. I'm not even sure what they mean by that. I'm sure that they mean it's, by we're going to one at a time, you know, everyone that we can get. By attrition, we shall overcome. And attrition. Okay, well, let's go ahead and look for Merriam-Webster definition of attrition. Okay, attrition. Sorrow for one's sins that arise from a motive other than of the love of God. All right. The act of rubbing together, act of wearing, I got this spelled right, attrition. And the act of weakening or exhausting by constant harassment, abuse, or attack. A war of attrition. All right. I guess that's the definition. The act of weakening or exhausting by constant harassment, abuse, or attack. Of who? The legislature declares that the intent of this act is to make attrition through enforcement the public policy of all state and local government agencies in Arizona. Now, of course, they want to sell this as against, I don't know who, illegal immigrants, Hispanics, brown people, whatever, because who do you think is going to get asked at a checkpoint for their ID? At what point do just everyday legal residents think that they're being harassed? It's already happening. The day that they signed the legislation, wasn't even enacted, okay? The day that they signed the legislation, a gentleman was driving his commercial truck, and he pulls into a weigh station in the East Valley here, east of Phoenix, and east of, like, Mesa area. They go to the weigh station, and he's Hispanic. He's a U.S. citizen, but, you know, he speaks with an accent. He was born in Fresno, California. He shows him his commercial driver's license and his bill of lading or whatever the heck it is. They go through the stuff. You know, boy, I asked you some questions. You know, they just signed the law, man. You know what? They get free reign now. Ooh-hoo, we always wanted to do this. Well, it's not even law yet, but what they did is they asked him, you have your birth certificate on you? No. So this made all the TV news and everything, and what they eventually did is they arrested him, took him down to the Immigration Naturalization Service building in Phoenix, and he called his wife. She went to Maricopa, which is a town about, you know, 45 minutes south of Phoenix. She went home, found his birth certificate. I mean, heck, I wouldn't even know where mine is, you know. Goes and gets his birth certificate. She gets hers because she's Hispanic also. She's like, you know, I'm worried. Goes down, shows him the birth certificate, and he gets out. And, of course, the news is there and made a big deal. Get down on the ground. You were driving around in Wild Brown. All right? So it's already started. On the first day it started. Well, if you're brown, is that enough? It's enough to ask other people for IDs. And as we go through this, you'll see there's more where, you know, like, you're going to have your papers on you. Oh, it's not papers, please. The heck it's not. This is bad. And they did away with all the stuff that everybody wanted and left that part. Talk about more when we come back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and you cannot declare your independence if you're dependent. And a lot of times you're dependent on, I don't know what source of information you get. Is it Fox News? Is that what's doing it for you? Seriously? It make you feel better? Do you remember the drumbeat in the war? How are you feeling? 9/11, 2001 through 2000 and... You know, summer of 2003 when we invaded. I mean, where you're like, it's going about time. Oh, let's go. I mean, we're not killing enough Arabs yet. Do you really know what was going on? You know, it's one thing I see on the net. They were talking about the release of the WikiLeaks documents on the Afghan war and finding that, you know, it's starting to be, you know, all the fun on Jon Stewart, Daily Show, and making fun of it and everything. And it goes something like this. So we're giving billions of dollars to Pakistan that are aiding the Taliban that we're fighting. So we're aiding the people that we're fighting, right? Is that what's going on? Of course. These wars aren't meant to be won. They're meant to be fought. And this is like the Pentagon Papers was, I don't know, it was like 7,000 pages or something like that. This is 91,000 pages. We have later today, we have some articles that have come up by Daniel Ellsberg, a guy that released the Pentagon Papers. And it was We've had him on the air before, and I've had long conversations with him, talking about, you know, what he did and why and how and where he's from and everything, you know, just really good detailed stuff. You can look in the archives, but it comes down to this. The government has their own agenda, and it has nothing to do with the defense of individual rights. Sure as heck not somebody else's in another country. Well, unless, you know, they can sign over an oil well or something. So I think that you're going to get any kind of a solution in an election year from politicians is it's like you're a rat in the maze that just, you know, keeps playing, you know, thinking that, you know, what are you going to get for it? It's an emotional thing. They go, here's some corn syrup. It's not really doing you any good. You know, there was an experiment they did on, I can't remember what they called it. It was a rat that they had an electrode in its brain that would trigger a pleasure center. You know, it's like you get a little mini orgasm or something. You go, ooh, that was good. And it was just like a shoebox with an open glass front. You could see the rat in there, and it was only probably 18 inches long, if that. And it was an electrified grid in the middle, and then the few inches on each end had a wood pad that you'd stand up on. You didn't get the electricity, and it had a little foot pedal, a switch, that the rat would hit that switch, and it'd give him a little mini orgasm. He's like, ooh, that was good. But it only worked once. So he had to go to the other side of the trap, you know, to the box, to hit the other switch, and give him one more. And you could have, they'd sit there all day, going back and forth. Flip, ah, oh, flip, ah, oh, flip, ah. Oh. They'd go until they starved. And then they go, okay, we'll just amp it up a little bit. They electrified the grid between it. A little bit of electricity, and it's tiptoeing, going, ah! Like it's running, you know, going across some hot coals, you know. And they get the other, okay, take a breath, and they go, flip, ah. And then he goes to the other side, and they keep amping it up until it electrified itself. Are they giving you just enough pleasure, just enough emotional candy, just enough of something that you'll keep going back and forth between the channels and the shows and take and feed me, and just, you know, and the electrical grid is just sucking all the freedom out of you, that you'll keep just for a little bit more pleasure? A little bit more got the other guy. A little bit more, you know, that guy went to jail. We passed regulation on that. We taxed this thing. We did something to get the other guy without ever asking if they should. Does it violate the principles of the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, this individual right protection thing? Do you even consider it? You just want the little pleasure jolt, and they know this. They know it. You must rise above it. You must have some core, some inception of an idea, of a principle, of a concept that you understand when, before the first sentence, that you know they're going to do something bad. And if you don't, you are doomed. I am of the opinion that and I've told you this when I first started doing radio here, when I was a young man in my 20s, it was so bad I saw then, that I realized that entire generation had to die off before we even had a chance of being free. That the next generation that I knew was coming, which is now doing it, people under 30, people born after 1980, those that became of age and matured along with the internet and their formative years and their junior high, they're starting to get the testosterone, estrogen hormones is raging, questioning authority. In junior high, they were able to go to the truth button, start to communicate with each other peer-to-peer and find the truth because that's what they were looking for. They were not looking for lies. I just want to know the truth because that's all what, you know, stands up to peer review. You think peer review is Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times. You think that is your peer review. It's not. I mean, some of my favorite magazines, Popular Mechanics, Popular Science, got taken over by, you know, the bad guys. You know, Hearst takes them over, I think, Mechanics, and you're going, oh, 9/11, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. You know, so I'm going, seriously? So we had him on the radio. I was producer. I got him on Charles Goyette's show. Charles Goyette ripped the crap out of him so bad that they canceled all of their media appearances for the rest of the day. One of our listeners called in got it on tape. He was recording a phone conversation, called Popper and Kent, got to him because they didn't know any better then, and just started talking to him, asking him some questions. He folded like a wet napkin, man. It was, and sent us the MP3 of it, and we played it all the time. Who is providing you information? Why are you seeking it? You know, what are you looking for? You know, when you do a Google search, you know, arrest illegal immigrants, death, dying, destruction, whatever, because that's what you need. That's what you want. You know, what are you looking for? Let's go ahead and finish. We're still in the first paragraph. The legislature finds that there is a compelling interest, whatever that is. What's the compelling interest? It's what they say it is. It's they're taking jobs. Is that true or false? And does it matter? They are taking advantage. They're breaking the state because of their use of social programs. They never address the fact that it's the social programs. I mean, that doesn't even come up. I mean, I got compelling interest of getting rid of social programs, but never even the issue. Won't let it be an issue. Doesn't come up. We had a millionaire running for the Republican nomination for governor here in Arizona. His name is Buzz, whatever it was, doesn't matter. And he dropped out after spending $3 million. And he said, I'm not going in for that. I already see what's going to happen. You know, it's the economy, it's freedom, it's all this other stuff. And he goes, they cannot get away from this immigration thing. And he goes, they don't know what's really going on. And I'm not going to waste my money trying to, you know, thwart this deluge that's coming from everywhere. I've had people on this show that represented the immigrants, amnesty, blah, 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 blah. And I go, look, you think I don't know what's going on? I know what's going to happen. Coming out of this lawsuit and out of this legislation and out of this is that you're going to say, all right, we will accept second-class citizenship. We'll be the Palestinians in Israel. If you will allow us to stay, we'll wear whatever armband, carry whatever ID, you know, put special license plates on our car, whatever it takes, so that we can just stay with our children. And there you did it. Now America is a police state out in the open. And I go, you will beg for it. You will accept it. You will advocate for it. You will do it. And when you do that, that means that my ID's got to get checked. Because if they're checking IDs to see if they're different, guess who's they're checking? They're checking mine. And you will have sold us out just like everybody else. Well, yeah. No, it's already started. It happened. It was already planned before they even started. Don't you see all of this protest? All this is a distraction. And what do we have out in the news now? We have Sheriff Arpaio saying that he will arrest the protesters. That's why they're all freaked out down there. You know, I got Dave Alpha here. He's one of the, you know, activists that's been working on this. Tell us what's going on down there.
Hey, Ernie. Thanks.
Hey, wait a minute. Let me plug you in here. All right, go
ahead. Hey, Ernie, thanks. Yeah, I just drove by there on the way to the workshop down here and saw that there was an escort, probably about 15 to 20 police vehicles, motorcycles. They were riding along the sidewalk that the protesters were walking along. I'm not quite sure what the purpose of that was, but I didn't see any counter-protesters. It was all...
You mean you have the police officer vehicles on the sidewalk or something?
Yeah, they would go up a little bit ahead of the protesters, and they'd kind of, you know, pull their motorcycles up on the sidewalk, and yeah, had undercover, and just about every single, you know, different type of police vehicle you could imagine down there. And as you get closer to the Capitol right now, what's going on is they got the road right in front of the Capitol. It's kind of like the road in front of the White House, Pennsylvania Avenue,
right.
And they got that blocked off. Basically a bunch of like street vendors out there, you know, people handing out flyers, but it was very empty at this time of the morning. Although I just saw that the local mainstream media, which is so last century, just
lamestream media,
which just reported that there were three arrests already. So
this is I'm not feeling good about this. And what do we have? They find a compelling interest in all cooperative enforcement of federal immigration laws throughout all of Arizona. So this cooperative federal government thing, here we go. And this is where we had activists here doing protest against the fusion centers. And when they used to be, call it multi-jurisdictional task forces, what it was is they would deputize or make federal marshals local law enforcement and federalize them. And that's exactly, since 9/11, that's exactly what they've done with Phoenix Police. They've federalized them and put them in the international airport at Sky Harbor. They go in there and they got M16s. And I'm just going, wow. And we have a friend of ours that his son is a Phoenix policeman, and he's one of the guys. You know, he's like, yeah, they made us federal marshals. Now we're getting integrated. This is how this stuff happens. You get the little black suits with no names and the shields and all this kind of stuff. I mean, ring any bells, parallels, you know, 1930 somewhere?
Yeah, and you know, Sheriff Joe released this statement this morning in response to the protesters saying, quote, "These irresponsible individuals who plan to create so much congestion around the jail that we cannot accept prisoners will end up prisoners themselves."
You know, I mean, if you're blocking the way, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, you can't block people, you know, doing their job, people, you know, going in and out. I mean, certain times you morally, you're going, no, I'm saying, you arrest me. Go ahead. Make, you know, I want the press or whatever. But I mean, it's going to go further than that. It's just, they're just there, you know, and it'll do what you don't think so. You've been to Republican National Committee meeting for the National Convention in New York where they just rope off everybody and put them under a bridge. You know, arrest everybody. They did it at the Denver Convention for the Democratic Party. They do it at the Republican Convention that was in Minneapolis, St. Paul. They did it before at the New York one. You know, we had the only ones that we knew that didn't get arrested were the Manhattan Libertarians that went to Central Park and they refused to get a permit. They denied a permit to everybody else, and they wore, you know, these black shirts with white letters that said, "We don't need no stinking permit." And they just went out and didn't. And they were the only ones that did not get arrested.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a game. It's a game. The legislature declares that the intent of this act is to make attrition, which is harassment, through enforcement, the public policy of all state and local government agencies in Arizona. Who are they harassing? The provisions of this act are intended to work together to discourage and deter the unlawful entry and presence of aliens and economic activity by persons unlawfully present in the United States. So it's jobs and just being here and so on. This is the intended purpose of this is to do that. Is that what's going to happen? Well, probably. I mean, you know, there's, you know, the economy has shipped off a bunch of people right there. I mean, they're just, you know, boom, they're gone. So this is, I want to make sure people understand, this is just the first paragraph. Now, we go into all this other stuff, but the first part of this, you know, the first, you know, language that they put in here, 11-10-51, Section A. No official or agency of the state or a county, city, town, or other political subdivision of the state may limit or restrict the enforcement of federal immigration laws to less than the full extent permitted by federal law. This is the headline that they're putting. And this is the sanctioned city thing that's going on. Some cities would say, look, man, we are not going to have taxpayer money. You know, it's like the drug war. We are not going to have local law enforcement going out and spending our tax money when they should be protecting whatever else and go looking for illegal immigrants. We're not going to do it. Well, the same thing happened with the drug war. What did they do? They give financial incentive. Why do you think they get all freaked out about somebody smoking marijuana somewhere or something? Because the government, the federal government, gives them bonuses. It pays them money. It gives them extra incentives for them to do it. My car is being stolen. Yeah, we don't care. But I think he was smoking a marijuana cigarette. Here come the helicopters. You think I'm kidding? You know, this is how it works. So what they're doing is like, you want this done. We're not doing it. It's a big political issue. And I tell you what the end of this is good, because they did the same thing with the drug war. Same exact thing. There is going to be financial incentives. You're going to get a compromise out of Washington, D.C. Certainly after, you know, all these Republicans get in, we need an immigration. It's number one thing, Tea Party immigration. Okay? And they're going to have, all right, well, Arizona did, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give financial incentives for local law enforcement working with the fusion centers and the multi-jurisdictional task force of the police state being local fed, kind of can't tell the difference, and they are going to be out there looking for illegal immigrants. Papers, please. You want to know how Nazi Germany happened? It is step by step we're going to exactly that. And you're begging for it. Think about it. Here it comes. And I will get absolutely no pleasure in saying, Neon freaking I told you so. I'll fight it every step of the way. Probably get in trouble for it, too. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Turn that dial all the way. Shoot me like a rocket in the space. Loving every minute of it. Loving every minute of it. Loving every minute of it. Come on!
Come on! Here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. And we got David Alpha here. You know, I mean, what's your whole view on that? You've been following this thing from the beginning. I mean, you're a young man. I mean, you're what, in your 20s probably?
Yeah, mid-20s.
So, I mean, did you understand what was going on from the beginning? I mean, you know, first off, I mean, let's address some of the concerns that people have. They're going, illegal immigrants, God dang it. You know, they're something. You know, they're. What do you think if you were to go to a 60-year-old Republican flag sweater wearing kind of rebel yell guy and say, and they're like, illegal immigrants are a, what do you think they're saying? They don't like it because of what? What is it that they don't like?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they are like.
Well, how are they perceived? I mean, you're like, you know, I'm up. You go to these protests and you hold up signs, and that's what's coming up to you. And I've seen the videos. I mean, they yell at you. They're poking you. Mm-hmm. You know, with their little flag, hand flag, or standing in front of your camera. I mean, they're just really being. I'm not. Of course, it makes good YouTube for us. But I mean, I'm wondering what is their issue? Do they even understand? Are they able to articulate it?
They don't understand the issue. They see it in black and white. They don't see. You know, they see. Illegal immigrants bad, SB 1070 good, and they don't know any of the background info on SB 1070.
But why are illegal immigrants bad? What is their problem?
Well, you know, it's easy to stir people up over it. The way I see it is it's a classic us versus them. I mean, yeah, with anything, whether it's a war or illegal immigration, you can have a threat. And you can basically take that threat and use it as a terrifying.
What's the threat?
From their point of view. You know what you do is you take it, you materialize this a terrifying external or internal threat, and that's what government is doing. They're basically stirring the pot, and they
have to have some rational, you know, little kernel of truth, something that you can latch onto. These people are a threat because of what? It's culture. They don't speak our language. They party on the wrong days. I mean, they something. I mean, and the biggest, the only legitimate thing that I can think is that they're taking my freaking money. But I'm going, it's not because they're Hispanic or because they're illegal aliens. It's because the government, you know, is giving it out. You know, so I'm going, why are we not addressing that? No, we can't do that, but we can do this. We're getting support from the government for this. We're getting support from the media for this. We're getting my friends' support of this. We get them, you know, and we'll blame it on them. And I'm going, man, if you're blaming, you know, I saw Jet had, there was a video, he said something, he goes, look, man, if you're attacking the little guy walking down the street, that he goes, you're focused on the wrong guy.
Right, and you know, what's real scary about that is I was at a meeting just a few days ago, and it was like a town hall meeting with these so-called candidates. This one guy, Bill Montgomery, is running for attorney general. County attorney, and he's standing up there saying how he's going to be just such a, you know, so much bad, and you know, he's going to just basically go after them. And a lady stood up and said, you know, why is it that Joe only does these raids every couple of weeks? We should be doing them every day. If you become county attorney, do you pledge to get behind and go out there and check out these taco stands every day and check these guys who stand around on the sidewalk? I mean, it's just hatred. I mean, it's just flat out. The way I see it is it's hatred. These people are so wrapped up in their ideology.
Of what, though? I'm not. It's America. It's MK, man. You know, it's us. It's our jersey. You know, it's our colors, it's our something, and they're missing the whole point about the whole justification for the existence of this team, this country, this government, individual right thing. And they just, you know, if they can put somebody down lower than them, they raise themselves with a sick sense of self-esteem because someone's lower, whether they're black or Hispanic or whatever. And after that, it'll be something else. You know, it'd be, you know, whatever religion or something that's been in the past. This is, and we'll get into some more meat of this. Maybe I'll just skip through. It's not real long, but I can't get past anything without, you know, pointing out this stuff. It's bad. We'll get to some goodie in a little bit.